This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, the most kind. La ilaha illallah, I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the all-knowing, the all-wise. To Him we belong, to Him we come from, and to Him we will return. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in this waqt of Jumu'ah and to forgive all our sins we've committed in this past week. And Allah accept our ibadat and our du'as. And du'as this Jumu'ah waqt, ameen. And we send our greetings, our salutations to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most perfect of creations, to him and his family, his companions, and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. Ya Allah, let us be from amongst them, ameen. Alhamdulillah, we continue our series on Tawheed, and we said the essence of Islam is this concept of Tawheed. That is what this religion is all about. That is the difference between Jannah and Jahannam. The difference between success and failure. The reason why Allah has created us. As Allah mentioned, as we mentioned last week, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He has not created us except that we should make ibadah and worship Him. And we explained over the past few weeks, the concept of ibadah is not just coming to the masjid, not just fasting in Ramadan, but our entire life is ibadah. Everything we do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get closer to Him, to draw nearer to Him. And we said a beautiful way to look at your life is to live your life as if though Allah, as if though you can see Allah. And if you can't see Allah, and we won't see Allah in this dunya, then know Allah is looking at you. And if you live your life like that, you will see Allah in Jannah. That is our objective. Ameen. Let all of us see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, let us see you. One of the punishments that Allah mentions in the Quran, and Rabbihim yawmaydin lamahjubun, that they will be mahjub, they will be barred from seeing Allah on Qiyamah. Those who disbelieve, who commit shirk, they will never ever see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a punishment in on itself. And we learned last week who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and His mercy, His kindness, His goodness to us. All of this is to focus us on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to worship Him. Now we talk today, insha'Allah, about the opposite of Tawheed. The opposite of Tawheed. And that is shirk wa iyadu billah. Akbarul kabair. The biggest of the big sins. The most major of major sins. The worst of sins is shirk. And it is the opposite, as we said, of Tawheed. And shirk, it nullifies your Tawheed completely. One drop of shirk, one act of shirk, the person who dies with just a little bit of shirk in his heart or in his actions, then he is barred from Jannah altogether. All of his Tawheed disappears. May Allah protect us from this. And we said, imagine this. If your life, the purpose of your life is ibadah, to worship Allah, to draw near to Allah, and shirk nullifies that, then by doing this thing, it destroys your purpose of existence. One form of shirk, it destroys everything that you build your life on. And I said, and of the dangers of shirk, we won't mention all of them, but some of the dangers of shirk, just to remind us about why the sin is so evil and so bad. As I said, number one, it is the biggest and the most major of all sins. It is even worse than murder. It is worse than zina. Shirk is the worst sin that one can do. It removes one completely from Islam. The one who commits shirk is no longer a Muslim, no longer a believer. It forbids you from ever entering Jannah, subhanallah, and condemns a person to eternity in Jahannam. We said the murderer, he might have an opportunity to come out of Jahannam. The one who commits zina, Allah can forgive him and enter into Jannah. And in fact, the hadith we mentioned last week, that Allah promises, no matter what sin you have done, if on Qiyamah, even if you didn't repent for the sin, you committed zina and murder and whatever it might be, you didn't repent, you come to Allah on Qiyamah, He will either forgive you directly and enter you to Jannah, or He will punish you for a time in Jahannam and then enter you to Jannah. But even the murderer, eventually if he has Tawheed, will enter Jannah. But the mushrik, the one who commits shirk and he dies on that, will never ever enter Jannah. Eternity in Jahannam. This is the one thing Allah says don't do. and then you can go to Jannah. One thing, don't do this and you can enter Jannah. And Allah says, all the good deeds, you can be the best of people, and this is the best, the example of this is Abu Talib, the man who raised the Prophet ﷺ, who protected Nabi ﷺ. He died on shirk. And Allah says to Nabi ﷺ, you do not make even dua for him after he died. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. Allah says in the Quran to the Prophet ﷺ, you do not give hidayah to the ones you love. He committed shirk, and you know he committed shirk, and he died on that, خلاص, you can't even make dua for him. SubhanAllah. Abu Talib, the man who raised the Prophet ﷺ, who protected him. Why? Because of shirk. A lifetime of good was nullified by one act of shirk, one bit of shirk. All your good deeds are lost. And as we said, that even we cannot even make dua for that person who died on shirk. Ya Allah, forgive them. Can't do it. SubhanAllah. So, in that context, we said this is the greatest topic and the most dangerous thing that one has to understand in your life. Some Jumu'ahs I know we come and we doze off, alhamdulillah, it's a nice relaxing moment. But this topic, you can't doze off on this. This is the difference between Jannah and Jahannam, eternity. This is the difference between success and failure, eternally. Your eternal salvation depends on understanding this. So what is shirk? Most people, if you ask them what is shirk, they will say it is to believe in another God. To believe that Jesus is Allah or the Son of Allah. Yes, that's one type of shirk. Or to worship idols. And they will say, we don't worship Nabi Isa. We don't worship idols. So I'm safe and free from shirk. You know, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the father of Tawheed. In the Quran, he makes the dua, Ya Allah, save me and my children. Nabi Ishaq and Nabi Ismail. Save us from worshipping idols and committing shirk. If Nabi Ibrahim felt scared, he might fall into shirk. SubhanAllah, where are we? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the thing I fear most for my ummah is the shirk that goes unnoticed. The believer will come. Allah says in Surah Al-Kahf, let me tell you, the biggest loser on Qiyamah is the one who did good deeds in this life, and he thought he's doing good, and he comes to Qiyamah, he didn't realize he committed shirk, and he goes to Jahannam forever. SubhanAllah. Can we really feel safe that we're not falling into shirk? So what is shirk? Shirk, linguistically in Arabic, a sharika, for example, is a company or a partnership. Sharika. A shirk is to have a partner with something else. Taking something as a partner. And in the Islamic context, when we talk about shirk, it is to give Allah a partner, an equal, a companion, in something which is exclusively His. For some things, it belongs to Allah alone. He cannot have a partner. So when you make an equal or a rival with Allah in something which is exclusively His, you have committed shirk. For example, what do I mean by giving? What is exclusively belonging to Allah? What belongs to Allah exclusively? What should be given to Allah alone and to no one else? And the categories of this, broadly speaking, there are three ways people commit shirk. Three ways people give things to others besides Allah, which nullifies the Islam. Number one, in the Godship and Lordship of Allah. And this is very rare. What I mean is people who believe that there are two creators, or there are two powers in the universe. There are two sources of sovereignty, of divinity. And very few religions, in fact, none of the major religions believe in this. The Muslims, the Hindus, the Jews, the Christians, they all believe that there's one ultimate creator. Even the Hindus, with all the deities they worship, if you ask them, how many creators are they? Meaning, how many ultimate gods are they? They'll say there's one. Christians will say it's one. We believe in a trinity, but we believe in one God in three parts. The Muslims, the African pagan religions that worship ancestors, they will say, if you ask them, how many creators are there? They will say one creator. Abu Jahl, Allah says in the Quran, they who worshipped idols, if you ask them, how many creators, who created the heavens and the earth? What was Abu Jahl's answer? Not Hubal and Lat and Uzza. He said, Allah is the one who, in fact, he used the term, Allah is the creator of the universe. He believed in Allah. He believed in Allah, Abu Jahl. SubhanAllah. So what shirk did he do? How did he commit shirk if he believed in one creator? Because very few, as I said, believe in more than one God, creator or Lord. This is very rare. Very few religions have this. The second type of shirk is when you give one of Allah's names or unique attributes to someone other than Allah. You ascribe to a creation of Allah things which belong to Allah alone. Like saying that this person knows the unseen. He knows the future. And we find people who do that. We say that he has powers and abilities which don't belong to him. That he caused the rain to come down. Or through him, blessings or harm came to us. We spoke about superstition a few weeks ago. That through these birds or this black cat, harm or misfortune befell me. That is in the hands of Allah. That is a type of shirk. Going to a magician and he can tell you the future, a fortune teller, the future belongs to Allah. No one knows the future. So this is when we give some of the power of Allah or his names to someone other than him, you've committed major shirk. But the most common form of shirk that people fall into, even the Muslims, even those who say La ilaha illallah, and this is the shirk which every Nabi came to fight, was worshipping something other than Allah. That when we give any drop of ibadah to someone other than Allah, we have committed major shirk, nullifies your Islam, Jahannam for eternity, subhanallah. And Allah says that this is really the essence of the Quran. I always make this analogy. You have, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, you're on a lift with a non-Muslim, and he asks you, what is your religion all about? How is it different to my religion? We believe in one God, you believe in one God. Our religion tells us to be good people, your religion says be a good person. How am I any different to your religion? We say the difference is when Allah said, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا Allah said, we sent to every nation a messenger. To say what? What was their mission? أَنْ اَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ Worship Allah alone. وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ And avoid all forms of worship other than His. That our religion is based on this La ilaha illallah. These four words is the difference between Jannah and Jahannam. These four words, the most simple of phrases. And even the great mufti on this earth, the biggest mufti, if you find out, who is it? Mufti Google. You ask him, what does La ilaha illallah mean? The first thing that comes up is wrong. That there is no God except God. Doesn't make sense. There's no God except God. That's not what La ilaha illallah means. So what is our religion all about? You're telling your friend in the lift. Our religion is that while we all believe that there's one creator, our religion goes a step further and says, no one should be worshipped, no one should be asked, no one should be feared, no one should be revered and ascribe divinity except him. You believe in one God, but yet you worship Jesus. You believe in one God, yet you worship the idols, Buddha. You believe in one God, but you worship statues. You believe in one God, but you worship the ancestors. That's the difference between us and you. That's the difference between my religion and your religion. That the religion of Islam is based on no worship should be given to anyone other than Allah. So what does this kalima mean? As I said, La ilaha illallah does not mean that there is no God except God or that God is one. Every person on earth, majority of them, believe this, that this God is one. But they don't believe the kalima. Abu Jahl believed that there is no God except God. There is no creator except Allah. Abu Jahl believed this. But what he did not believe, he did not believe that this creator alone should be worshipped. So this kalima and the word in this phrase, La ilaha illallah, the dangerous word in that phrase is ilah. That there is no ilah except Allah. Now if you look at the English, they will say there's no God except Allah. Yet Allah is God. So ilah and Allah is two different things. Ilah and Allah is two different things. Allah is God, the creator. So we're saying there is no ilah except Allah. So what does the word ilah mean? Ilah means deity. Deity. A deity is something, a ma'bud, that which is worshipped. That which receives ibadah. That which is turned to in dua and salah and ziyarah and qurb. Think of all kinds of worship. If it's given to anyone, then that thing is a deity. So what are the deities on this dunya? Jesus is a deity. Maryam is a deity. These are things to worship. The ancestors are worshipped. The idols are worshipped. The karamats are worshipped. All these are deities. Allah is saying, there should be no deity except me. There should be no deity except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you understand what this religion is now all about? That none should be worshipped, none is deserving of ibadah except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, the Muslim will say, I don't worship anyone besides Allah, so I'm safe from shirk. I only worship Allah. I only make salah for Him. How is it possible that you say I worship others than Allah? So let's talk about, it's going to be a bit controversial now, because we're going to talk about ways in which us Muslim people unknowingly fall into shirk. And this is, as I said, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, this is what he fears for his ummah. He said, I fear more for my ummah, this hidden shirk that we don't know, than Dajjal. How many of my people will fall into shirk without knowing it, and they come on Qiyamah and they find out, now it's too late, subhanAllah. So how have Muslims, I talk about Muslims now, how have people within Islam and continue to commit shirk without knowing that they're doing so? And in the next couple of weeks, inshallah, we'll discuss types of shirk that are relevant to us. And number one we're going to talk about, inshallah, is the veneration, the excessive veneration of pious predecessors. The worshipping or extreme praise to the point of shirk of pious predecessors, meaning of prophets, Nabi Isa, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People have gone to extreme of imams, of awliya, of graves of awliya, of ancestors. People have worshipped and praised pious people. This is actually the root of shirk. This is how shirk began. The first people to be destroyed by Allah were the people of Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Before Nabi Nuh, no generation was destroyed. Nabi Nuh's people, Allah drowned them. They were the very first people Allah destroyed. All the other sins of the prior nations, and there was murder and zina in them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed it and gave them a chance for tawbah, and Allah, inshallah, pardoned them. As for Nabi Nuh's people, they did something new and they went overboard, so Allah destroyed them. What did they do? They were the first people to commit shirk. The very first people to worship something besides Allah. How did they do it? In Surah An-Nuh, the Surah of Nabi Nuh, Allah mentions that Nabi Nuh said, وَقَالُوا لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِيَتَكُمْ. That, Ya Allah, Nabi Nuh is now making dua to his, against these people. He gave up on his people. So he made dua, he says, Ya Allah, they will not leave their ilahs. Here that word comes again. They will not leave their gods, their deity. They will not leave their objects of worship forever. They're not going to leave it, Ya Allah. وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ. And they will not leave وَدًّا وَلَا سُوَاعًا وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَصْرًا. They, Ya Allah, my people, they will not leave their false deities, their false objects of worship. And they will not leave Wad and Suwa and Yahuth and Ya'uq and Nasra. What is these words? These are names of idols. Allah mentions the five idols Nabi Nuh's people worshipped. So how is it, we ask, that people went from Tawheed to worshipping idols? How do you get to that? How do you wake up one day, you build an idol, and then you worship it? You ask it, Oh Wad, Oh Suwa, help me, assist me, heal me. My wife can't have kids, heal her. The rain hasn't come, Ya Wad, please bring us the rain. How did they do that? What happened? Ibn Abbas and the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that Ibn Abbas rahimullah has knowledge of tafsir. He gives the tafsir of this ayah. He said, these five idols were five pious people. They were five awliya. And when those five people died, the people felt, you know, subhanAllah, this pious imam, the sheikh, he died. You know, shaitan came to them and said, why don't you build structures on their graves and build statues to remember them? So that when you look at the statue, you're committing sin. And you look at the statue and you remember, subhanAllah, I remember Imam Wad. I remember his teaching. So now you come right and you start making dua to Allah. Then shaitan told him, why don't you go to the graves of these pious people? And you go and you make dhikr of Allah there. Make salah to Allah there. But because you're in their company, you'll think of Allah and you'll become more pious. And generation after generation, children saw their parents going to the graves of these pious people, believing that this is where barakah is. And with as time went by, shaitan said, it's so difficult going to the cemetery. Why don't you build a statue so you can look at it and put the statue in your house? So they saw, and as it's mentioned, the one generation saw their parents, aqifun, they standing before the statue, worshipping Allah. This guy is standing, he's standing before the statue and he's saying, Ya Allah, help me, heal me. I'm very sick, I have cancer, heal me, Ya Allah. But his kids thought he's worshipping the idol. That the idol is the means of cure. And the next generation just asked the idol. Then it went from, Oh Wad, through you ask Allah. Then Allah was forgotten and it became, Oh Wad, you heal me. Ya Suwa, you give me rizq. And this is how they committed shirk. They venerated pious people to the extent where they started worshipping Allah. And this methodology of shaitan does not stop. He does it again and again. Same thing. Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, a Nabi, He was praised beyond his level by his followers to the point where they worshipped him, and now they say, وَيَّذُ بِاللَّهِ He's the son of Allah. And they worship him and his mother. You understand that this methodology happens again and again and again. So the way in which shirk entered this dunya, the way shaitan brought shirk to this earth, was through the veneration, the excessive veneration of pious figures, and building on their graves, and putting pictures of them in your houses, and figurines of them as idols, and then believing these things bring barakah. And with time, you would forget Allah completely like Abu Jahl, and worship the idol alone. You understand? And how many of us are we close to that already? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith in Bukhari and in Muslim, right, this hadith comes in both, that Salama, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this was close to when the Prophet was about to pass away, she was sitting there at his bed, and she was speaking to Sauda, who was also a wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Sauda and Salama, they both made the hijrah to Abyssinia. Abyssinia was a Christian country. They went there and they came back. And so they were talking about what they saw in Abyssinia. And they said, you know, remember that cathedral, how big it was and how amazing it looked, how beautiful was that cathedral, that church we saw in Abyssinia. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to them, that these people who built those cathedrals are of the worst of creation. Why? The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, when a righteous man or a pious saint among them dies, they build a place of worship on his grave and set up all kinds of pictures and statues. They are the worst of all creations before Allah. Why? Because they worship. This is the beginning of shirk. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying this, that when a pious person dies and they build shrines on their grave, and people go to make ziyarah of that shrine, that this is the worst of things and this is shirk. I mentioned this before, that sadly, the biggest hajj on earth is not to Mecca. It's to where? To Karbala, the shrine of Hussein. The biggest hajj on earth. 10 million people go to the shrine of Hussein to make dua to Hussein rahimullah, to ask him to make tawaf around his grave, to bow before his grave. Subhanallah. This is shirk, major shirk. No two ways about it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, another hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and this is what on his deathbed, he's dying, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dying. And obviously what he says on his deathbed is serious. He had a high fever, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore he had a wet cloth on his face. But yet when his sahaba were around him, he took a moment to take this cloth off his face and he said, Allah's curse be upon the Jews and the Christians for taking the graves of their prophets as places of worship. Beware, don't take my grave as a place of worship after me. Don't make me a kramat that you worship. Don't come and worship my grave. I came to teach you, La ilaha illallah. Only worship Allah. When things are difficult and you feel under stress and you feel life is hard and the rain is not coming, worship Allah, the one who brings rain and the one who gives. I have no power. No Nabi has any power. No angel has any power besides Allah. So worship Allah alone directly. Beware of those who preceded before you. They used to make their prophets' graves into places of worship, and I forbid you to do so. Of the, you know, a few days, like 5 days, less than a week before the Prophet passed away, on his last sermons, he made this statement. Some might say, and this is side note, not in the slides, what about the Masjid Nabawi? We go now and the grave of the Prophet is in the Masjid. What was we mentioned, the Sahaba never ever built, the Nabi passed away in his house. His house was not part of the masjid. Later generations did this. And the imams, the scholars, Imam Shafi and those great scholars, they said that this should not be part of the masjid. Yet the kings and the emperors did what they liked. So we don't go to Masjid Nabawi to worship the grave of the Prophet ﷺ. Similarly, we don't go to Mecca to worship the Kaaba. We worship Allah and we ask Allah. And we don't turn to the Prophet's grave and make dua. If you ever visited the Prophet's grave, you would find that his grave is to your left and the Qibla is to your right. So you greet the Prophet ﷺ, and when you want to make dua, you turn to face the Qibla and make dua. The direction of dua is the Qibla, not the grave of the Prophet ﷺ. But you find people, and I was there, they put letters in the grave of Nabi ﷺ, letters to him, Ya Rasulullah, help me, assist me, Ya Rasulullah, bless me, give me. This is all acts of shirk. So what is the ruling about visiting graves? Can I visit the grave or not? Can we go to the mazars? Can we go to the dargahs? Can we visit the graves or not? Yes or no? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is preventing his people and is speaking out about grave worship. That the first form of shirk is this building on the graves, visiting the graves, making, you know, worship at the graves. Visiting the graves comes into three types. Initially, there's a hadith, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forbid the Sahaba from going to any cemetery. The Sahaba were not even allowed to visit their parents who had passed away. Why? Why was it haram to visit graves? Because they were new in Islam. They were new into Islam. And the graves were places where idols were, and people used to worship the graves. They used to worship the ancestors. So Abu Bakr and Umar and all the Sahaba, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made it haram for them to worship, visit the graves. At the Sahaba, he said, I'm too scared that you're going to go commit shirk at the cemetery. Don't even go to the cemetery. Visit your mommy, your daddy. No, you can't. Then Nabi Sallam changed the rule and he said, it was forbidden for you, but now it's permissible. And go and visit the graves. Why? Because it reminds you of the Akhirah. So if anyone goes to the cemetery for the purpose of humbling yourself and remembering that this is where you're going to come tomorrow, that I might be lying here tomorrow, this is permissible and you'll be rewarded in that. So we visit the graves, alhamdulillah. Permissible. Not only permissible, it's ibadah. You're worshipping Allah by visiting the cemetery. However, when you go to the cemetery, all you do is you greet, there's a dua. You greet the deceased. You say, Ya Ahlul Qubur, O people of the cemetery, we send salam on you and soon inshaAllah we'll be amongst you. And then we make dua for them, not to them. Ya Allah, help them. Have mercy on my grandmother. Have mercy on the saints that's lying in here. Ya Allah, have mercy and send salam on the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr and Umar. These are the best of people. Yet we don't ask them, we make dua for them. Ya Allah, help them. The second type of worship, the second type of visiting the grave, first type permissible only for the purpose of remembering the Akhirah. The second type of visitation of the graves, which is haram and it's an innovation, not shirk, but a bid'ah, an innovation. When you go to make a specific dhikr at the cemetery, you believe that the cemetery is a place of blessing and barakah. That if I make a salah there, Allah is going to be more accepting of it. That if I make dhikr there, then Allah is going to answer my dua more. That if I make a ritual at the grave of a saint, now Allah is going to accept my du'as. No evidence for this. The graves are not places of worship. In fact, the hadith says, do not make your homes like a graveyard. Why? A graveyard is not a place of worship. Therefore, don't make your houses empty of worship. The Sahaba never went to the grave of the Prophet ﷺ and made a du'a there. We're still talking dua to Allah, right? So even if you go to the cemetery to ask Allah, and you make dua to Allah, and you make salah to Allah, but you believe the cemetery is a mubarak place, that your du'as are more accepted, this is an innovation, goes against the deen, and it is a major sin, subhanAllah. It's not shirk though. Not shirk, but a major, major sin. To believe the stones of the graves of the awliya is blessed, subhanAllah. No, we don't believe in stones. We don't believe that, you know, and people come to me and they say, you know, I'm not feeling well. I have a problem in my life. I feel that these supernatural powers affecting me. Can I go? Isn't there a special dhikr I can make at the kramat or something? SubhanAllah, why? Wake up the last third of the night and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come to the masjid. The masjid is the place of ibadah. Your home where no one sees you, that's the place of ibadah. Not the cemetery. It's not the place of ibadah. The last type of visitation, and this is the worst, is the one who goes to the cemetery for the purpose of worshipping that dead person. Asking, Ya Hussein, Ya Abdul Qadir Jilani, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, bless me, heal me, assist me. This is a major shirk, kufr akbar, that nullifies your Islam and takes someone, wa yadu billah, to Jahannam. This is the danger. And part of our weakness in Iman is that we attach our hope to things other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we fear things other than Allah. And we believe, and this is the natural inclination of insan. We want something tangible. We want to hold something and look at something when we worship. Allah says, worship me. I'm for inni qareeb. We said that last week. That when the ibad asks you, O Muhammad s.a.w. about me, say that I am near and I answer their dua. You don't need to go anywhere. You can be in your bed. lying down and you can make dhikr of Allah and ask Allah. You don't need to go to a special place. There are special places from the sunnah we know, like the Haram, Makkah, like the day of Arafah on Arafah. Now Allah sanctified those places that if you make dua there, Allah is going to accept it. Doesn't mean the place is holy. If you take the sand of Arafah home, it's going to protect you. No, it's that time, like the time of Ramadan is holy. The last third of the night is holy if you make dua in that time. And the final point to consider, that shirk, Allah does not look at the intention. Every single person who commits shirk, they believe they're doing good. They believe I'm going and I'm worshipping, I'm asking Nabi Isa, I'm asking the Prophet ﷺ, how can this be bad? I'm not watching TV or committing haram or committing zina or doing evil. I'm making worship, I'm making dhikr. No, the intention, Allah does not look at the intention. If it's shirk, it's shirk, wa yadu billah. And we, by not worshipping a saint and not worshipping Nabi Isa, it's not that we don't love him. We will say we are the first that love Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now we love Nabi Isa like all the Anbiya. And you cannot be a Muslim if you don't love Nabi Isa. But we don't say that you can worship him. We don't say you can ask him. We don't say that he's a son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, we don't say the saints, as we love the saints, that we are Muslim by the grace of Allah and through their efforts. Had it not been the awliya that came to our country, we would not be sitting here. And every moment that we are sitting here worshipping Allah correctly, they are being rewarded for it. 300 years of reward is going to them. There was no Quran in this place until they came and they taught us the Quran. So they're getting the reward. But similarly, we love them, we follow them, we don't worship them. And they themselves did not go to graves to worship ancestors or saints. They themselves did not do that. If we love them, then follow their example. We cannot take away from their stature. And it does not benefit them to build statues in their image, to build shrines upon their graves, to beautify their graves with chandeliers and with carpets. How does this benefit the man in the grave? And it does not even show respect to him. Rather, give that money as charity in his name. That benefits him. So, my beloved brothers and sisters, we, as I said, we love the awliya. And we venerate the awliya through following the example. But do not go excessive. As Nabi says, do not be extreme. Like other religions became extreme. Love me. Follow the sunnah. But worship Allah alone. As Sayyidina Abu Bakr said in that last sermon, whoever worshipped, when the Prophet ﷺ passed away and Sahaba didn't believe he died, what did he say? His famous words. Whoever worshipped Muhammad ﷺ, then no, Muhammad is dead. The Prophet ﷺ has died. Can't do anything. But whoever worships Allah, then remember, Allah is al-hayy alladhi la yamud. Allah is always alive. That He is the one that we worship. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. I say maaf if I offended anyone. It's not my intention. But as I said, this is the difference between success and failure. Don't take the risk with your iman. Don't put yourself in a situation where Jannah and Jahannam is in the scale, in the balance. No one has ever said, even those that say you can bow to a grave, that you can bow to Hussein, even they will say, if you make dua to Allah and salat to Allah, it's okay, nothing wrong. They will say it's not as good, but it's permissible. You cannot go to Jahannam for worshipping Allah alone. Be safe. Don't take the risk with your deen. Whenever you have difficulty, raise your hands to Allah and khalas, that's enough. If you have yakin in Allah, that's going to be sufficient for you. So may Allah grant us this tawheed, that we preserve it and protect it, that we come to Allah on the day of Qiyamah with that kalima on our books, and you will enter Jannah, inshallah. Ameen. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Can the brothers please move forward, please? Just fill the gaps and stand as close to one another as possible.